Please open your Bible with me this morning to the book of Romans, if you would, at the 7th chapter, Romans chapter 7. I would like to begin today with a contrast between what you were before you came to Christ and what you are now that you are in Christ. I've noticed when you read through the life of Jesus that oftentimes He made it so simply either or. All right? He made it simply either or. Now, I want to show you something. Now, there are more aspects of it than this, but I want to make this contrast with you today. I want you to see what the difference is between what a person is like before they come to Christ and after they come to Christ. Here's what I'm going to say to you. First of all, old man, spiritually dead, child of Satan, living in darkness, a slave to sin, in the flesh, under the law, and condemned. When you put your trust in Christ, new man, spiritually alive, child of God, living in the light, freed from sin's power, in the Spirit, under grace, and forgiven. There are lots of new things. I'm sure all of you would like a new car. I don't know, maybe you would like a new watch. Maybe you'd like a new Apple Watch. Maybe you'd like a new computer. Maybe you would like a new phone. Maybe you'd like a new pair of glasses. Well, interesting, the Bible has a lot to say about things that are new. As a matter of fact, I found something quite interesting because the Bible talks about all of the following. He talks about the new covenant. We read this morning for you the new Jerusalem. He talks about, of course, the New Testament. You've got the new birth. You've got all these new things. But I want you to think about the fact with me today about the new man. Are you a new person is the question. The minute you came to know Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us you became a new person. The Bible says that you are spiritually alive. The Bible says that you're a child of God. The Bible says that you are in the light. The Bible says you're freed from sin's power. The Bible says that you're in the Spirit. The Bible says you're under grace. And the Bible says you are forgiven. So, of course, you ask yourself the question, where do I fall? Where or who am I? Old man or new man? Look with me, before we read the passage here, at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Maybe you've got this one memorized. Here's what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man, meaning any person, be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Ah, what's on my heart today? New things, made new. Father, I thank you again that you've given us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, Father, that these pages that we're going to be reading this morning are living pages, living words, living ideas that come from your heart to ours. And we say thank you for that this morning. You know our hearts, Lord. There is no one who knows us like you. You know us inside and out, Lord. You know every trouble, every problem, every trial, every agony, every blessing. And I thank you, Lord, that even this morning we know some of what you are like. So we pray that, dear Lord, this morning that we'll be able to say when we leave here to this place today that we know that you have changed us, Lord. You've made us a new man or a new woman. We want to say thank you, Lord, for your word and your Spirit. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So I've titled today's sermon, Made New. I want to begin, though, with a man by the name of Andrew Murray, a South African born and raised in South Africa. Born 1828, notice what year he died, 1917, making him 89 years old when he left this world. But Murray wrote at least 50 full-length books and at least 150 smaller booklets. I have about 19 of his books in my library. Well, here's a classic line from Murray. He says this: "The whole Christian life depends upon the clear consciousness of our position in Christ. Most essential to the abiding in Christ is the daily renewal of our faith's assurance, I am in Christ. Nothing will exalt free grace and make man bow very low before it than the knowledge of the mystery of God in Christ. Of God I am in Christ, created anew, made a branch of the vine, fitted for fruit bearing. Would to God that believers would cease looking most at their old nature and complaining of their weakness, as if God called them to what they are unfitted for. Would that they would believingly and joyfully accept the wondrous revelation of how God, in uniting them to Himself, made Himself chargeable for their spiritual growth and fruitfulness. How all sickly hesitancy and sloth would disappear, and under the influence of this mighty motive, their whole nature would rise to accept and fulfill their glorious destiny." Said Pastor Murray so many years ago. Over in the New Testament, we find another book out of the book, or another passage out of the book of Colossians, that says something about something that happened to you on the day you were saved. Here it is. Colossians 3 and verse number 9. "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." In essence, he's saying, stop lying. Anybody ever tell you to stop lying? Stop lying. He says, stop lying, because you've put off the old man with his deeds and you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Now, in order for me to say something to you today about these words in Romans chapter 7, what I would like you to note with me is a couple things that you should, as a believer, believe. Here they are. One, I am united to Christ. This line in the Bible in Romans 6 is planted together. My relationship to Adam has been severed. I am united to Christ. Number two, I'm free from the dominion of sin because the old man is gone, having been crucified and buried. Number three, I am alive to God. Number four, I have a brand new identity. I'm a child of God. I'm a saint. I'm a priest. And number five, I've been born of God. I've got one nature. A new nature. And even though evil is present with me, I delight in God's law. Some foolishly preach that a Christian has two dogs inside of him fighting with each other. I thought, where in the world did this preacher get these two dogs? I was just appalled. The Bible teaches us that we have been born anew with one nature. Now see, folks, before you came to Christ, before you came to Christ for salvation, you were bound to the law. The Bible says, bound to the law. So here's what's upon my heart today. In order for me to say something to you now about Romans 7, having said all that I've said for the last 2 or 3 months on Romans chapter 6, I want you to think with me, do you believe any of these things are true of you? One more time. united to Christ, free from the authority of sin, alive to God, a brand new identity, and I have been born again. Now, there's many more things to say as a believer that you believe. But I'm saying all those things because if you're going to get to Romans chapter 7, you need to realize that 7 is an explanation of 6:14. Here's what it says. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Before I came to Christ, I was under the law. Before I came to Christ, I was bound to the law. Well, what does that mean? It means I'm stuck. It means this. It means that when God says no, I want yes. And when God says yes, I want no. You see, we're stuck before we come to Christ. When God says no, we say yes. When God says yes, we say no. I want to show this to you in an aspect of one of the lines that Paul mentions here. There's so many times that the Bible says, thou shalt not. Anybody have any idea how many times the Bible says, thou shalt not? Does anybody like any of the times God says, thou shalt not? Well, look with me at this idea, if you would, please, this morning. When God said, thou shalt not covet, my nature says, I want to covet. When God says, thou shalt not lie, my nature says, I want to lie. And I do. My nature, the Bible teaches me that we are born with a sin nature. If God said, thou shalt not covet, guess what, folks? Your nature wants you to do the opposite. God says, thou shalt not lie. Your nature wants you to do the opposite. Here's what Paul closes this chapter with as we looked at it. What fruit had ye in those things wherein you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. So here's what's on my heart this morning. Romans 7, then, by the Holy Spirit, becomes an explanation to the Christian. And I want to make sure you understand that explanation from Paul in Romans 7 is an explanation that a Christian has a relationship to sin and to the law, which was not true before you came to Christ. You have a new relationship to sin, a new relationship to the law, and the law closely tied to this matter of sin. So Romans chapter 7, I want you to note with me a couple things before we read the passage here. I want to start by just trying to give you a little bit of a bigger picture of the whole chapter. Now, you know that we've been studying Romans. Hopefully, you have read Romans 7. So here's what I want you to think with me about. It's broken up in just a couple pieces. And I want you to think about how powerful this is. First, he's answering the question, how does marriage illustrate the power and dominion of the law? Secondly, is a Christian dead to the law? Number three, if the law gives us so much difficulty in the matter of sin, then why did God give it to us in the first place? And the fourth is the last section of Romans 7. If I do what I shouldn't do, doesn't that mean I'm still under the law? And Paul answers those questions for us in the book of Romans. So I want to just take with you a couple ideas here. First of all, I want you to think with me about what Paul says in the first couple verses, that God's idea of marriage illustrates the power and dominion of the law. Would you look with me at your Bible at Romans 7 and verse number 1? Listen to the voice of God as he speaks to your heart. Romans 7, 1. Don't you understand? You see that there? No, you're not. Don't you understand, brethren? For I speak to those who are under the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she'd be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Folks, every single one of us who are married, we know that marriage is regulated by law. Every day in our world, people go to the law to get a license to be married. You place yourself under the authority of the law for your life. Think about how powerful that is. So Paul's first point is pretty simple, because he compares that to the matter of the law. His idea is that there is a dominion there between the law and yourself. A Christian, though, as you're about to see, is dead to the law. A Christian is dead to the law. Would you please take those words to heart this morning, folks? How are you related to the law? If God says no, what do you say? If God says yes, what do you say? You see, if you are saved, the Bible tells us that we have been delivered from the dominion of the law. And, listen closely, you are married to Christ. The Bible teaches that you are married to Christ. Let's see if I can find that for you. Would you look with me at the verse, please? I thought I had it there. I apologize for that. But look with me at the Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Would you look with me at verse number 4, that you were married to another person? Look with me at 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Watch this. That you should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You see, folks, these commands that God has given to us prior to salvation, they just bring out of us something that when God says yes, we want to say no. When God says no, we want to say yes. But the moment you put your trust in Christ, the Bible says that you are no longer under the dominion of the law. The Bible specifically says that you are now married to Christ. Now, yes, it may be a new concept. I realize that sometimes some of these things in the Bible are new concepts. But folks, it's a marvelous and wonderful thing to think about the fact. The Bible says, as a Christian, you're married to someone else. That's what the Bible says. Verse number 4, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You see, one of the special joys of living a Christian life is that God has called you to himself to be perfectly united with him. You know, you've got so many things going on in your life. You've got so many things going on in your heart. You're so busy. You've got so many things that you want to accomplish in this world. And God wants you to get back to this simple, wonderful reality that you are united to him. Whatever's going on in your heart, whatever's going on in your mind, whatever's going on in your life, would you come back to the simplicity of your relationship to God through Christ? You are united to the Creator of the universe. You are united to the Savior of the world. You, the Bible says, have Christ living in you. The Bible says Christ lives in you and you live in him. So one of the marvels and wonders of the Christian life is that Christ lives in us. I wish I could just stop right there and let you digest that for 15 minutes. We call that meditating. You take the truth and you cogitate. You think. you wonder, you appreciate, you love, you enjoy, you believe on the reality of what God says. Because our hearts and our minds are so easily filled with all sorts of stuff that's simply not true. You come back to the Bible and you say, oh, that's what the Bible says? A lady said that to me one day. She said, oh, that's what the Bible says? That's what it says. Before I was saved, folks, when God said no, I said, okay, God, fine. Whatever you say, no, I'll go for it. Really? And God said, yes. Oh, yeah, fine, God. He gave a command, I'm going to go for it. You see, before you're saved, when God says no, you want to say yes. When God says yes, you want to say no. When you become a Christian, puts a whole different perspective in your life because now you realize you're connected to God for eternity. He's in me and I am in Him. Now, folks, if you've missed Romans chapter 6, and I don't want to say this harshly, I'll say it kindly, you really can't get Romans 7 unless you have some experience of Romans chapter 6. And I mean that with all my heart. So Paul is talking here about this connection we have to the law and to sin. Paul is talking here about being dead to the law and now married to Christ. Here's what he says. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, so that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, so that you will bring forth fruit unto God. Watch this, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, when we were in our unsaved state, the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. Folks, the world has completely changed when you put your trust in Christ. Your relationship with God, your relationship to yourself, your relationship to sin, your relationship to everything is transformed because now Christ has come to live within you. Something is drastically changed, and that change is a person. I was speaking to a man yesterday who we were speaking about the matter of the truth. And I got a simple opportunity to say the following thing to him, and he just stepped right back when he heard me say it. I said, the Bible says that the truth is a person. And he steps back. You see, sometimes when you give people some light, when you bring something of genuine light to a person, they have to respond to it. I said to him, truth is a person. He didn't like the idea that I was quoting the Bible. That he did not like. But when I told him what the Bible said, and then I quoted for him John chapter 14 and verse 6, it's almost like he thought for just a moment that maybe what I was saying was true, even though it was, quote, written by man in the Bible. Listen, folks, the truth is a person. When you've come to Christ, when I came to Christ, no, I didn't understand it all. But now, as I'm growing in Christ, I'm beginning to realize more and more how wonderful it is to know that the truth is living in me. As a matter of fact, I found a passage that says God, Jesus, says, I am the light of the world. So I also have the light living in me. One of the joys of being a Christian is knowing that there's been a marvelous transformation took place. He did something that you could never do on your own to change you. Listen, Christians can do what unbelievers cannot do. A Christian can serve in spirit. not in oldness of letter. I am no longer condemned by the law. I am not longer bound by the law. I'm under the grace of God. Look what the scripture says in Romans 6. Realizing that my old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be declared invalid, powerless, that I should not serve sin. You've heard all that I've said about the matter of sin and being a servant to sin and now coming to Christ and now being a servant of righteousness. Listen, folks, it's marvelous to know that you are saved by the power of God. Something has happened. Something has changed. And most of us, when we were saved, we could not explain it. Maybe we can't fully explain it today. Well, Paul's put it down for us and trying by the Spirit of God to explain it to us. Listen, your relationship to Christ is no longer God says no, you say yes. Your relationship is Christ, the Christ is no longer God says yes and I say no. Today, it is. Today, it is. Without Him, I can do nothing. Today is, I can serve Him in newness of life. Today it is, no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. Today, I am dead to the law by the body of Christ. Today, I've been married to Jesus Christ. Today, I am bearing fruit to God. Today, I've been delivered from the law so that I can serve Him in newness of spirit. I've been made new. Would you not say with me this morning, I have been made new? You see, folks, it's what God does. How many people do you know, as I do, they think that their efforts, striving, their good deeds are connecting them to God. And the Bible clearly teaches us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, which means being born again, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I have been made new. Can I say that one more time for you this morning? I have been made new. For those of you who've been on the water, as I have, I take Dramamine for the following reason. I have been on the water, and sometimes choppy water makes me a bit sick. Some of you have probably been there. So what advice do you give to a sick person on board a boat when the water gets quite choppy? You say to them, oh, go down in the cabin. No. You say to him or her, look at the horizon. And when you look at the horizon, generally, along with the Dramamine, usually that helps you get over the sickness. I want you to think with me about how marvelous it is that the Lord wants us to put a focus not on ourselves, not on our ability or inability, not on our sinfulness or tendency for sin or any of that stuff, but to put the focus on who is Jesus Christ. Look what it says. Seeing we also are compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the one who initiated and the one who will complete your life, your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to think with me about the amazing work that God has done within you. He made you as a creature. He made you as a human being. But when He converted you, He made you into a new creation. where the Bible clearly teaches us that now I am a different being than I was before I came to Christ. I'm a different person than I was before I came to Christ. And that different person is certainly have some physical likeness, but I'm different on the inside. A number of years ago, I was over here at a soccer game. My son was playing on a soccer team over in Clinton. And I got there a little bit early. I couldn't find Michelle and the kids. They were going to meet me, and we were going to sit in the stands and watch Dan play soccer. And while I was standing there waiting to see who was going to go up into the stands at this park in Clinton, a man walks up to me, and he touches me on the shoulder, and he says, "Are you Dan Peters?" I said, "Yeah." And he says to me, he says, "Don't you know who I am?" And I said, "Sorry," I said, "I don't know who you are." He told me who he was. I knew this man when he was 18 years of age in Binghamton, New York. Wow. And he looks at me and he says, "You haven't changed a single bit. You are the same," but I had no idea who he was. Now, physically, I may be what I looked like when I was 18 or 20 years of age. But listen, folks, on the inside, I have been converted. I have been changed. I am new. I am not what I once was. I want to say that to you because I want you to say it. I want you to believe it. Your connection to God and to Christ, to the law, to sin, had been changed. You are now a saint. You're a priest. You are now a servant of God. You are now a child of God. Why? Because of something He has done. All you did was believe. All you did was trust that what He accomplished on the cross was for you. I'm going to close with this prayer of surrender. It's yours if you want to pray it. Sometimes people ask me if, at the end of the service, if I will send them the prayer. I will happily do that to you. And you could say it and pray it. Here is the prayer of surrender. I hereby surrender everything that I am and have and ever will be. I take my hands off my life and release every relationship to you. Every habit, every goal, my life, my health, my wealth, everything that means anything, I surrender it all to you. By faith, I take my place at the cross, believing that when the Lord Jesus was crucified, according to your word, I was crucified with him. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised with him. So I deny myself the right to rule and reign in my own life and take up the cross and believe that I was raised from the dead and am now seated at your right hand. I thank you for saving me from my sins and myself. Yes, it's a big prayer. But folks, if the Bible teaches us that we are now new in Christ, would you please emphasize the new? Would you go with the new? Would you believe what he says about you? Because life makes all the difference when you believe what God says versus what you think. Old man, spiritually dead, child of Satan, living in darkness, slave to sin, in the flesh, under the law, condemned. New man, spiritually alive, child of God, living in the light, free from sin's power, in the Spirit, under grace, forgiven. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Thank you, Father, that you've given us these pages to believe, to respond to love, to lean on. And I know, dear Lord, that there are some here this morning that are struggling, and they have so much focus in the complete wrong place upon themselves, even their own sin. Oh, I pray, Father, for that one that's here today that needs to get off that focus, Lord, and put their focus upon your Son, that they might find in Him all they need. for life, for godliness, for eternity. I give you the glory, the praise, the thanks, and all the honor. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.